Intervju Radija Študent. Z deljenjem proti monopolom. Z Justusom Haucapom smo govorili o robu Evropskega foruma v tirolski vasi Alpbach. Justus Haucap je direktor Inštituta za ekonomijo konkurence v Düsseldorfu in nekdani predsednik Nemške protimonopolne komisije. V raziskovalnem in praktičnem delu se izdatno posveča monopolom v digitalni ekonomiji, Googlu, Facebooku in podobnim. Digitalna ekonomija sloni na zbiranju, analizi in uporabi podatkov o uporabnikih. Eden glavnih dejavnikov, ki digitalno ekonomijo potiskajo v smer monopolov, je tako monopolizacija podatkov. Morebitni konkurenti, ki bi želeli vstopiti na trg, pač nimajo dostopa do množice zbranih in analiziranih podatkov, ki jo hranijo obstoječi monopoli, zato težko predstavijo konkurenčen produkt. Justus Haucap rešitev za ta problem vidi v deljenju podatkov. Če bi monopolna podjetja zbrane podatke v agregatni in nepersonalizirani obliki delila s konkurenco, bi ji olajšala vstop na trg. O tej zamisli, o evropski direktivi, ki ureja varovanje podatkov, znani pod kratico GDPR, in o drugih morebitnih rešitvah problema monopolizacije podatkovne ekonomije, se pogovarjamo v pričujočem intervjuju. Začenjamo pa z zastavitvijo problema, zakaj digitalna ekonomija teži k monopolizaciji.
To start with, if we can establish which are these factors and these so-called barriers to entry that that prevent more competition in the field of data economy.
To be precise, I mean there are some fields in data or digital economy that are very competitive. Mm-hmm. So not all parts of the data economy have a lack of competition, but there are. Some parts of the data economy where you see clear concentration tendencies. I mean, almost everybody uses Google as a search engine, and while there are other search engines, they are not used that often, so Google's market share is very high. Same we see with Facebook. There are other social networks, but by and large, Facebook is a dominant player in the market. And we see this also in other niche markets. If you think, for example, about staying in private accommodations, and Airbnb is clearly the leader in the market, and there are a few others. And this is by and large due to what we call indirect network effects. In some sense, it's very simple. If you think about a little village, everybody goes to the discotheque where everybody else goes. And now we don't have a little village anymore, but a global community on the internet. So everybody wants to go where everybody else goes because it makes most sense. Think, for example, about Airbnb. If you want to rent out your flat, it's most likely that you find somebody who wants to rent it if you go to Airbnb, because most people look at Airbnb. And vice versa, if you want to rent something, you also look at Airbnb because most people who are hosting somebody are also there. So everybody goes where everybody else goes. And this makes it difficult for others to get into the market. Even so, there's one aspect that simplifies it to some degree when compared to the traditional economy. The traditional economy was, let's say, quite costly to open up a second store or a second shop. And this is much less expensive in the data economy. You can what we call multi-home, so you can be on, you can open a shop at Amazon, at eBay, on your own platform, and so it costs virtually nothing to open up another internet shop.
But on the other hand, I mean, this network effect is probably exacerbated by this collection of data, which enables to improve the service, right?
Exactly. So that comes on top. The companies who have most customers, or let's say most users, also have the best data, and they typically can then offer the best services that most tailors or is tailored to what you want to have really, because they know most about you, so they can make you the best offer at the same time. So that makes it quite difficult for other platforms to get into the market, because they don't have the same knowledge or same data resources to know what works and what doesn't work really, and they have to try to solve the chicken and egg problem, that you need to get, let's say, one side of the market, these users, to, in order to also get the other side of the market.
Now, this was an introduction, and I'd like to focus more on the possible solutions of this problem. But now, if we begin with the competition law, now there are arguments out there that the competition law is outdated and it's not fit for purpose of today's monopolies. Now, I guess there are some differences, but honestly, I can't really see which is such a big difference compared to the monopolies of the past that this wouldn't be appropriate. What's your take on it?
I agree. I mean, I think in principle, competition law is fine to deal with the problem. I don't think we need in principle sort of new competition law. I have compared sometimes to the Ten Commandments. We don't need new Ten Commandments because we live in a digital world, that you should not lie is true. And the same is for competition law. You should not abuse your market power and you should not cartelize the market. It's nothing that we have to rewrite. But we need maybe different tools of analysis and think more about different types of practices. And one practice, for example, that these larger, let's say, internet giants or in concentrated markets sometimes do is that they try to make it more and more difficult for users to multi-home, to use other platforms in parallel. And this is something that competition agencies should really focus on. Say, if they try to make it very difficult for somebody to use, let's say, to open a shop at Amazon, eBay, and third and fourth platform, then that looks like an abuse of the position, and that should be penalized, but not only penalized, it should be basically prohibited, so that the market is open and competition can flourish.
Now, in the more distant past, competition law focused not only on consumer protection, but also protection of suppliers, of competitors. And there was a change, I believe, around 1980s. And now, basically, the competition law only protects the consumer and looks at the prices. Now, there is a case to be made that this is inappropriate in any case, but in terms of digital economy, where you don't even have prices often, and even Amazon that has prices has pretty low prices, this might be very ineffective. Would you argue we need a change in this
philosophy? I think you are right in the sense that there is a stronger focus on consumers, but it's not exclusive. Buyers are still protected. So in principle, it's also prohibited to abuse your market dominance to exploit, manufacturers or suppliers. It's not maybe as strong because on the European level, at least, in the national country, it's sometimes a little bit different. But on the European level, there is a focus. At the end, if the consumers don't benefit, competition is not something that we want to have, because it's so nice to see as something good in itself. If the consumer doesn't benefit, we don't sort of enforce it. But that typically we still make the condition if suppliers are exploited. Ultimately, that will also harm consumers, because then we have lack of competition in the market. So I think one thing that we have to think about really is so far we have only looked at suppliers and let's say supply and demand, and now we have these, let's say, new firms that are intermediaries that don't really. Amazon is a bad example because they also supply their own stuff. But let's say a company like eBay, for example, does not supply anything itself. It just makes sort of two offers to two types of the market, but still they have something which I would call intermediary power. So that's because they serve as an intermediary, maybe have it as a third category of market power that should be addressed.
Some solutions of the past are clearly not applicable. For example, the oil monopolies were simply broken up. Now, in the case of data economy, if you break the companies up, you lose the benefits, right?
That's right. I don't think breaking up the companies is a very smart idea, because you lose a lot of the potential for innovation, and also consumers do not necessarily benefit if you say, for example, if I now go to Google and say, what's the weather in Ljubljana, then they directly give me the weather. Yeah? Or I say, what's the stock price of IBM? They directly give me the stock price. If I now would say Google is not allowed to offer information itself anymore, but only allowed to show you links to sites where you can find this information, it's clearly not beneficial for consumers, because they don't want to have links, they want to have the information, ultimately. On the other hand, I think some of the old instruments still work. Remember when we sort of said, okay, there is in principle competition possible in telecommunications markets, we said, okay, then the incumbent operator has to offer the monopoly part of its business also to other firms, to its competitors, basically the network. Or we do the same with energy networks. We say, okay, you're not allowed to only sell your own electricity. If somebody else wants to use your network to sell electricity, then you have to let him on your network. Yeah, and I think a similar approach we could actually use for data resources. Say if somebody wants to, if we have a dominant firm that has been dominant for a long time in a market, and we see that competition, nobody's catching up really, we can say, okay, maybe it's a good idea then to allow other firms to access at least part of the data to try their algorithms and learn something in order to catch up. There has been this proposal saying, if I want to program a new search engine, of course I would need to know sort of what works and what doesn't work, how do people click when I show them what type of results. And people say now they find it difficult to program because they don't have the learning experience that Google has. But if they had only, let's say, access to a part of Google's results, that may help them. Yeah, so we can think of this. I mean, it's not a new tool, because we had this in the past with the traditional monopolies as well.
Now, you mentioned that in the panel, but you didn't really get more time to explain it. It is an interesting proposition, but I guess the devil is in the details, right? Yeah. I mean, how much data should it be? Raw data or already analyzed to some extent? Should it be anonymized? Stuff like that. Is there some more, let's say, developed proposal? Does it exist? And could you elaborate?
Not really. We are starting this discussion in Germany actually right now, because one of the leading parties has put up this proposal, but we haven't seen any more details. And it's clear it needs to be anonymized, because otherwise we get into trouble with data protection guidelines. But think about search results. I don't need particularly your search results or my search result. I just need sort of the typical type of people, how they behave, and then I can, this can be perfectly anonymized in order to find it useful. I'm a little bit optimistic that there may be market solutions even to this problem, because now with the new data protection guidelines, users are allowed to take all the data from Facebook, Amazon, from whoever, and give it to whoever they want. So I can imagine that there may be, let's say, data brokers who say, okay, I will offer consumers something to give me all their Facebook data, and then I can market the Facebook data to third parties again. So maybe we don't even need this sort of legal proposal. Maybe the market will solve the problem with the data protection guideline. But this has been only in place since May, so it's a bit too early to tell whether the market will solve the problem or not.
So this is the concept called data portability, right?
Right.
The GDPR, yeah. In terms of GDPR, there are many interpretations and analysis of it, but one is, of course, the user gained more control over how this data is used, can transfer it to other platforms and so on, which is supposedly a good thing. The other interpretation is that with all those requirements of consent, Google and Facebook would get the consent easily, but smaller companies couldn't, and that this would only lead to a further monopolization, actually, of the what's your take?
I must admit, I was somewhat skeptical when Mark Zuckerberg in the hearings in Congress said he wants to have something like the European Data Protection Guidelines, and saying, okay, if Mark Zuckerberg wants to have it, it's probably a bad idea for competition. but I don't want to be so cynical, and I think the data portability in principle empowers consumers. Of course, it's true for any regulation. Small firms typically find it more costly to deal with regulations than large firms. So there's always this element to it. So I would have been I would have liked a proposal where you say would have connected this data protection maybe to a certain firm size and say if you are a very young firm below a certain type, then you may be exempted from this type of regulation in order to facilitate entry into markets. We have this with many other laws, with labor law, tax law, where there are special rules for smaller firms, and I would have loved to see the same with data protection, but unfortunately, well, yes, it was not a proposal that the European Commission liked.
Now, this problem of a monopoly in the economic sense, and yeah, economic sense is only a part of this whole debate about data monopolies. The other is, okay, privacy and also the some ability of social control. Now, because of that tendency towards monopolization and because of all these possible dangers and also all the possible uses of data, some people argue for a nationalization of at least a part of those companies or this infrastructure. Do you see any merit in this idea and what made me the
Well, first of all, it's quite infeasible. I mean, imagine if we want to nationalize Google, who should be the owner? The U.S. government or the European government, which is, I think, completely impossible that Europe say, okay, you know, we are the owners of Google suddenly. This would be quite exploitative and I think not tolerated by the U.S. So we can ask the U.S. to nationalize Google. But even then, imagine, I mean, you cannot force people to use, let's say, the national search engine, because everybody can then program another search engine, and I think people will always go to what they think is the best search engine. Mm-hmm. And our experience in the past with, let's say, nationalized companies is they are typically not very innovative. Yeah, they are more like bureaucracies. And they maybe...
But AT&T was, for example, right?
And it was broken up because it didn't behave very nicely vis-a-vis its competitors and customers. I think many in Slovenia will still have the experience of old nationalized companies, and sometimes they weren't so bad, but more often than not, yeah, they are not very creative and innovative. And in the internet market, if you say I'm nice but not innovative, I think you will lose really soon.
But would you agree we should treat the data as a public good in some sense?
In some sense, it would be good that sort of we give that more people have access, let's say, to the data. But still, it differs from a public good in, let's say, like other infrastructure, because it's so in some sense everybody can start to collect data. It's not produced in that sense, and nobody sort of, you can, the same people can create the same or can collect the same data, so I can give my my eating habits and my where I like to travel and my street address to a lot of people, so we can duplicate the resource infinitely often. And that, I think, is actually good news for competition, because it's not like oil, which we cannot duplicate. Yeah, it's exhaustible. While with data, the fantastic thing is it's not exhaustible.
But maybe, I mean, because of those barriers to entry, you could treat it to some extent as finite still, because not anyone can...
It's costly to collect the data, that's right, and it... but. Remember, a lot of people are very skeptical if the state starts to collect a lot of data, because they and I think correctly so, more concerned that governments, because they ultimately have the monopoly power, there's a power to throw you in jail, ultimately, that they will do something with the data that you don't like, particularly with the firm. I mean, even if you don't like Google in the end, then you can simply go away from Google. With the government, it's much more difficult to go away.
Okay, just the last question now. Last year there was the case of the Open Market Institute at the, was it New America think tank, which lost funding when they started dealing with data monopolies, and Google, among other companies, sponsors this think tank. Now, in your career, did you ever feel any pressure? Similar pressures?
Fortunately not, but this is because we are largely
Our institute is in part privately funded, but this is by just old entrepreneurs who like competition, more or less. It's partly publicly funded, so I've never felt any pressure that anybody wanted to tell me what to do, what to research. I'm happy, but I think in Europe we have the advantage that a lot of research is publicly funded, and so there's much less pressure on what to research.
Thank you very much for this interview.
Z Justusom Haucapom se je v idiličnem alpskem okolju pogovarjal Cviter. Intervju Radija Študent.